What's the difference between DIY and doing it yourself? It's the difference between a part-time passion and a full-time business. Wix gives you the power to turn your passion into a moneymaker with a website that fits your unique vision and the business tools you need to succeed. Let your ideas flow with AI that guides you but keeps you in the driver's seat. Manage your business from one dashboard and keep it growing with built-in marketing features. It's time to turn your daydream into your dream job. Do it yourself. Go to Wix.com.
Is your cash working hard for you right until the very moment you need it? It could be if it was in a Wealthfront cash account. With Wealthfront, you can earn 4% annual percentage yield from partner banks until you're ready to invest, nearly 10 times the national average. And you get free instant withdrawals to eligible accounts 24/7, 365. 4% APY is not a promotional rate. And there's no limit to what you can deposit and earn. And it takes just minutes to transfer your cash to any of Wealthfront's expert-built investing accounts when you're ready. Wealthfront, money works better here. Go to wealthfront.com to start saving and investing today. Cash account offered by Wealthfront Brokerage, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Wealthfront is not a bank. The APY on cash deposits as of December 27, 2024 is representative, subject to change, and requires no minimum. Funds in the cash account are swept to partner banks where they earn the variable APY. The national average interest rate for savings accounts is posted on FDIC.gov as of December 16, 2024. Go to wealthfront.com to start today.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time.
The best there is, best there was, and the best there ever will be. And you know it.
With a tear in my eye.
The queen of the crop.
Acknowledge me.
Episode 376 of Top Rope Nation. Let me clear my throat. I am your host, Jesse Velasquez. Ryan and Justin are at work. I was going to put this behind a paywall and then from a time constraint perspective, kind of ran out of it and decided, okay, to call in a friend, a tag partner, if you will. And he said, how about Thursday morning? I said, let's go for it. Maybe we can get a United Kingdom reach. Frank Pediani, PW Torch. How are you this morning?
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks for having me, Jesse. You know, this is actually the first time I'm doing a flagship in the sense of like just a regular, like a preview or something like that. You know, typically I've been on for the post shows. You know, I did World's End with, I think that was you and Ryan. You and I did Forbidden Door, two shows that I attended. And then Saturday Night's Main Event not too long ago was Ryan, you, and Jay Schmitz. So this is the first time doing a, you know, just a regular flagship. So I appreciate it. I'm honored, you know, to step into the shoes of Ryan and Justin. I hope I could do half as good a job because I'm half the man. And if everybody doesn't get that reference, you got some research to do.
Most definitely. Yeah, we'll see how lively this chat is this morning again. And we already have one. John Hope, as always, with us. Let's go.
My guy, John.
I know. That's all of our guys right there. So happy to see you this morning. We're going to keep it pretty tight. AEW Revolution will be like 95% of what we're going to be talking about here on said show. I do want to throw something impromptu at you right now. Since you do host Pro Wrestling's Then and Now on PW Torch, how has everything been going 1995-wise, WWF and WCW?
So I'll be coming back to that in a couple of weeks. My last project was Saturday Night's Main Event from 1985. So kind of staying in the fives since we're in 2020. I have a thing about that. Like in 2025, I feel like everything has to be either 30 years, 20 years, 10. I'm weird about that. But I'll tell you this, I did the Rumble 95 and it was not as bad as I remember it. There were talking points coming out of that. Now the Rumble itself, 95, not so fun. You know, it wasn't all that good, but there was a lot to talk about coming out of that show. We'll be doing WrestleMania 11 and I'm bracing myself for that. Cause you know, I hadn't watched it in a while and there's a reason for that. This month, I'll be doing some WCW catch-up. I'll be doing Super Brawl 5 and the one that followed, Uncensored, So it's fun, Jesse. You know, it's more of a study than anything else, because I want to see what television was before the famed Monday Night Wars, you know, and where were the mistakes made? What could have been done to make it better? You know, because the talent was certainly there. It was there on both sides. I mean, you know, so been enjoyable, but I'll check back with you in a few months. We'll compare our 95 journeys, because you're doing a fantastic job with that ECW, you know, catch up. I'm learning a lot, you know, from listening to your shows. So hope everybody's checking that out.
So just in case you missed that, Frank is covering WWF and WCW for 1995 on Pro Wrestling Zen and Now, PW Torch VIP, to listen to it in audio form. However, if you want to go a little further into the video form, you can catch that, I believe, live or on replay.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. All the episodes are on YouTube. The first one was back in November of last year. I did Survivor Series 94. Unfortunately, only half of that is on because I screwed up going live. But got the hang of it afterwards. I'm still kind of making my way through StreamYard, but all the episodes since have been live on YouTube, and you were on one of those. We did Starrcade 94. So, you know, certainly hope you go VIP at the Torch, but if you're not, you want to catch my show, they are on the PW Torch YouTube page. So, hope everybody checks those out.
You definitely should. A big insight. And just as Frank said, it's a case study, because if you are not a patron of our show, let's throw that up here real quick in the description. Got to thank all of those lovely folks, including Frank, as I am going over ECW 1995. And what I've been catching on is they do like to take some pot shots at WWF and WCW. Oh, yeah. 95. So,
yep. And you're not too far away from a, you mentioned a certain star coming in, and I know who you're talking about. And boy, are there some pot shots on that promo.
Ooh. Oh, that's right. That's coming in 6-7 months.
Oh, okay. So maybe, oh, okay. Maybe I'm, you, maybe we're talking about two different things. Okay. I'm just going to sit back and, basically in my day job, sit back, relax, and enjoy the flight.
That is exactly what we all want to do, especially when we hop on one these days. And Frank is the driver of said airplane.
Yes.
So again, ECW 1995, it's been a blast. In about 2.5 weeks, I'll be covering their next big event, the Triple Threat from ECW, where a enormous star does debut. And the hint that I dropped on that show was the person he is wrestling on this show wrestled his father on the prior show.
Hmm. Okay.
So, lovely patrons, again, it is a $5 a month. We have 7-day free trials for those who want to try it out. You can get ad-free stuff. We're recording classics tonight, so I'll be doing double duty. Speaking of 96, we're going to be going back in time to In Your House 6, February. Bret Hart, Diesel, Owen Hart, Shawn Michaels.
Oh.
Interesting doubleheader. We're going to give our thoughts on that. That's what the patrons voted for each month. You get ad-free regular shows, so you can listen to this without these annoying ads. And also, you will be able to pick up on my TRN Unplugs, go through every single classic episode. There's TRN extras. Ryan also covers post shows for Bleacher Report, so you'll be able to get those in real time. It's within 30 minutes of, actually, it's right after the show, and he uploads it within a couple of hours. So you definitely get a lot for your money. A bang for your buck, as Paul Heyman once said. And then our merch table as well, TRN Unplugged. With that, you have TRN Top Rope Nation merchandise as well, which you can find at our pro shop. Link is going to be in the description. Frank, before we hit AEW Revolution, I have to ask you this. Io Sky is our new WWE Women's World Champion. I just want some thoughts of yours on that, because that was intriguing to me.
Yeah, I was shocked. Believe it or not, was watching it at work, just getting ready to do a flight. And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, we're going to see a title retention, and, you know, away we go. We set up Bianca and Rhea for WrestleMania, which, you know, we all had on tap. But something was ringing in my head Saturday night when both Rhea and Io came out. And my thought was, oh, Lord, are we heading towards a triple threat? Because they're going to want to do something with Io at WrestleMania. And if she's not involved in a title match, then what is that? You know, they're not going to have her go after the tag titles or anything like that. You know, she's not going to get involved in the SmackDown, you know, the WWE titles. So I could see this. And I kind of viewed Monday as an avenue to that, you know, because we haven't heard of like a Rhea suspension. We haven't heard of an injury or anything like that. So are they going to navigate to that somehow? You know, I'm not saying I like that, and I'm not saying I agree with WWE doing that. I mean, I think the match was Rhea and Bianca. But here we are. And I hope it's not, you know, we hear about Triple H throwing these curveballs towards everybody and trying to throw everybody off. And you're not going to know what we're going to do at WrestleMania. And I mean, that's all fine and good. But sometimes, Jesse, the obvious outcome is the right outcome, and it's fine. And it's what everybody, because when you have a big match, all right, and you have a big match that everybody's thinking about, you know, such as Rhea and Bianca. And I think we can all agree for the last couple of years, we've been kind of waiting for that because it hasn't taken place on the main roster. So when you have that and it actually happens and you get people looking forward to it, it feels big. Whereas, you know, if you throw this, I mean, this is fine. Io Sky is great. We know that. But is this the match that we wanted to see? It's kind of like, you know, I don't know. So, you know, we'll have to see what happens. But I think ultimately somehow, some way, they're nuzzling their way to a triple threat. And we'll have to see how that plays out. And the potential Bianca heel turn plays into that as well. You know, how they factor that in, you know, we'll have to see. What are your thoughts on it?
I would have liked to have seen a disqualification when Bianca and Rhea were shoving each other on the outside.
Well, that's what I was wondering too. Like, why isn't it like, isn't that a DQ? You know?
Automatic for sure. Io Sky to me is, I think, in-ring wise, the best performer on the women's roster. Main, of course. She's not really that interesting right now from a character perspective, and that makes me a little bit nervous. I mean, obviously, the talent has always been there. The problem is getting the interest levels up there, and they're just not there. Rhea and Bianca is what everybody wants, I feel. And then also, you mentioned it, stating the obvious and like giving the fans the best experience possible. I think head-to-head matchups are always the way to go as opposed to a triple threat, because triple threats in recent years have become a little bit sloppy.
Yes.
So continuity. And you're covering
a time period where the triple threat was pretty much born, right? But there was a reason for it. You know, there was a reason for that triple threat. And now, you know, I feel like triple threats, well, at least – I don't necessarily now, because they've kind of gotten away from that. But, you know, for a good number of 20, 25 years, they were used as a crutch. You know, well, we don't want to put, you know, we don't want this one beating this one, so let's put this one in so they could take the pin, you know, and it just kind of waters it down. And they don't really have to tell a story because the triple threat tells the story, you know. I don't know, like, do they... And this is me just trying to get in their head. If they want to turn Bianca heel, is Io an easy champion to beat? And then they can have Rhea chase, you know, where you can have that match for SummerSlam, you know, because you got to do a two-night SummerSlam deal. So maybe that's them saving that, which now we're making Io Sky a transitional champion. And it's like, you know, she is a little bit better than that, but you also brought up the point of her not being as interesting. And is that on the WWE? Is that on her? I don't know. I mean, I feel like with the Japanese women, they just don't really promote them the way that they should. And I think that's a problem. You know, Asuka is way more talented than how she's been presented through the years. Kairi Sane. I mean, these women are just fantastic, but they just never seem to get the, they never seem to get the interest. You know, I mean, this has been a go back to Survivor Series 95 for crying out loud when they brought the All Japan women in. I mean, they just, you know, you got Vince and Mr. Perfect sitting there basically telling jokes. And it's like, do you see the talent you have in the ring? And it's just so, yeah. Anyway, just some thoughts on the, you know, some further thoughts.
The giant problem here also is Rhea's already chased the championship down for six months trying to get it back from Liv Morgan. Do we really want to see that again?
And the fact that she beat her on Netflix, like they made a big deal about, you know, I mean, they made a big deal about that show. What was the point of her doing that on the Netflix show? I mean, you could have just had Io, if you wanted that, you could have just had Io Sky beat Liv and then go to Bianca.
Yeah. Any way, shape, or form. But again, a one-on-one match is what most of us would like to see at WrestleMania. It's just much more compelling. We're not going to go down the road where we're probably going to see another triple threat involving three very popular superstars in the world in wrestling entertainment. And that's something, while it's great that you're getting three men in there, however, I mean, again, I would much prefer a one-on-one and you can find a simple solution for somebody else.
Sure. Yeah, I agree.
It's ridiculous. So any other closing thoughts on that?
No, I think we covered it. I mean, I guess I'm just curious and a bit concerned of how they wiggle her back in, because I mean, I think you kind of make Rhea look bad, because, you know, her issue is, oh, Bianca was cheering for Io, right? I think that's what was going on. And it's like, I think that makes Rhea look pretty stupid. Like, so what? Like, just win your match, you know? And I really hate when they do that with baby faces. I feel like they just don't. And this has been an ongoing thing, and you've talked about it on shows before, where they just don't book baby faces all that well. They make them look stupid. And I think that was highlighted Monday night.
Mm-hmm. So old habits don't necessarily die hard.
Nope. Nope.
All right. I see Rick Skelton also in the chat on a Thursday afternoon. Hello, good sir.
What's going on, Rick?
Also got to say hello to Kevin Byrne, who is joining for a rare live experience. Yes, you and I both agree. I rarely see you in the chat, so it's awesome to see you here. All right. Well, we're going to give you the buffet that you wanted, AEW Revolution. And as always, Frank, we usually kind of give people either a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of your hype meter for it, kind of the build behind it, et cetera. Throw all your thoughts in right now.
Yeah, you know, overall, this is a show that kind of snuck up on me. It's funny with wrestling lately, Jesse. Like, I don't look forward to wrestling the way I used to. That doesn't mean I don't look forward to it. It's just a different feeling. Because, I mean, there's so much product out there. And it's just like, okay, you know, it kind of feels like baseball season almost. Like, okay, there's a Mets game tonight. Or, you know, there's a Ranger game tonight. I'm going to watch. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't make it bad. But it's just different. With that being said, this show really snuck up on me, because I started putting two and two together. And I started looking at the matches. And I responded to the great Justin Joint. One of his comments, I said, there are so many matches that are tied into one another. And we'll talk about that, you know, because what happens in, you know, like the MJF Hangman could have implications on what happens with Swerve and Ricochet. That has implications on what could happen in the title match. So there's so much, like, really intertwined. And it really, like, now makes me look forward to the card. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to turn social media off that night, because I'm flying Sunday night. Unless I could swap for another trip, something pops up, I'll be watching it Monday morning. So I won't have the live experience. So I regret that that's going to happen. But yeah, there's really just, there's a lot being paid off that we'll talk about. You know, those that complain that AEW doesn't tell stories, they are telling stories here. So there's a lot of stakes. There's a lot to look forward to on this show. And it's nice to be invested in a pay-per-view. I think that's kind of been lacking from some of the AEW pay-per-views in recent times. So it'll be good to kind of go through some of those stakes as we go through the show today.
And what really helps is having that almost 2.5 month hiatus between your last pay-per-view and your next one. See, this is where AEW, in my mind, should have stopped at like 6 pay-per-views, I think.
Yeah, 6. You could go 8, you know. I mean, it's the thing about it is, and one thing I realized, what I was afraid of, but it's taken me a while to figure out that it actually works. I actually didn't like, and we might be going way above the point here, I didn't like years ago that we went to primetime quality wrestling every week. Because I'm like, that's going to water it down. You know, you're not looking forward to the pay-per-views because you're getting these matches every week. Mm-hmm. But you know what? When you do that, when you do weekly shows like this, I almost feel like it's better to have that pay-per-view, not necessarily every month, but maybe like every 6 weeks, every 8 weeks. So that way your television is pointed and your television is focused, you know, and you're working towards something. I think sometimes, you know, when they were only doing the four pay-per-views per year, some of the television kind of lost focus. It was just like, you know, an isolated episode, and we really weren't working towards something. It's like, okay, why am I watching the show? What are we building towards? So, you know, I don't mind necessarily now, does it have to be monthly? No, you know, but I think like every, you know, like January, March, you could do an April and May, but then like take a break, go to like July, August, maybe October. You know what I mean? Just space it out. So yeah, I think you can, I think you could do that. But anyway, there's a lot that's been set up, and there's a lot that we're looking forward to see paying off on this show. So not to repeat what I said before.
The spacing is definitely the issue, because you got March 9th and Dynasty is already April 5th. You get a little bit of space in between Dynasty and Double or Nothing, because that's going to be Memorial Day weekend. You get All In, which is 7/12 in July in Texas. So that's okay spacing. Then you get some spacing from there into Forbidden Door, which is August 24th. I looked up the schedule here not that long ago. All Out's going to be 2 weeks after that. That's where the logjam happens. That's where the disconnect is, unfortunately. So, yeah, if you cut... I understand... I think you should have had Wrestle Dream as a one-off. Just have it that 1 year.
Yeah.
But now you're going to fall into the loop of kind of repeating that year to year. I didn't necessarily want Dynasty. However, last year's Dynasty card absolutely blew me away. Ospreay Danielson, you got Swerve as a new champ. Yeah. So it served its purpose there. But I would have loved to have seen it as a one-off. As for Revolution, though, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's really high for me. It's probably 8.5, 9. There's been some really great builds here. And every match has been, for the most part, the story's been told for at least a month, if not longer.
And it's funny, this is a show that always sneaks up and becomes a really good show. Like, I think if you look back year by year, most people are going to point to Revolution as their favorite show. I mean, I hear it in your guys' reviews every year. It's like, that was one of the best pay-per-views I've ever seen. So, you know, I think we're under the assumption that All Out is their WrestleMania, maybe Double or Nothing. I don't know. Seems like Revolution seems to be the sneaky good one. You know, like, I mean, like on the WWE side, my favorite is the Royal Rumble. Maybe Revolution is their Royal Rumble without a Royal Rumble happening, you know, something like that.
Yeah, Revolution's crushed it pretty much every year. You had the Moxley Omega stinker in 21. The ending was a stinker. But if you go back through the card, it was really good. Mm-hmm. So, and that's, I think, I'm going to save that question for the end, because that's the last match we're going to talk about. We're actually going to go in the order of from newest matches announced to the first match announced on the card. So we're going to go from the beginning here. Kazuchika Okada versus Brody King was just announced yesterday. Yeah. They've had like a 2 week deal where they've interacted backstage. Okada just beat Buddy Matthews. I think the winner's obvious here, but what do you think of the match?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fun match. I kind of wish, and I made this point to Wade Keller, it seems like the Hounds of Hell might be becoming the Hounds of Jobbers, or the Jobbers from Hell, or something like that. Like, I don't want those guys necessarily to be good hands, but it seems like that's where we're going, you know? So it goes. But it's going to be a good match. I mean, Brody King versus Okada is interesting. I have to admit, like, was this like a social media thing? Or you said they were interacting backstage. Like, I don't recall anything that, you know, pointed me to think, oh, you know what, these guys are going to have a match at a pay-per-view. Like, did I miss something significant? Or, you know, what was going on with that?
Significant. They had a couple of collision backstage interactions.
Okay.
I do know that. They did have one that was also on social media. So, I mean, you could see this being painted Yet, I think this is something you could have seen on either a Collision or a Dynamite as a main event.
Yeah, yeah. And that's like, although, you know, it's funny, I was thinking about that. And there's another match on this show that I think could be on Collision, but I don't mind a couple of matches on pay-per-view being sort of a come-down match. Mm-hmm. And I hate to think of an Okada match as a come-down match because I think Okada should be in a much higher level, but, you know, it's perfectly fine. Like, not every match has to have a high emotional investment, you know? Like, there's... I don't think we think about this. We kind of subconsciously think about it, but there's mental energy that we bring to every pay-per-view. And one of the issues that I've had with AEW is not necessarily the length of their shows, although that's a problem, but it's more like every match feels like a big match. And there are some matches that I just don't want to think about, like, oh, this will be good. Great. You know, I'll just watch it and see how it goes. You know, I don't want to have to spend that mental energy. So, you know, this is perfectly fine, you know, and it's kind of stays within the family because obviously Okada had the match with Buddy at Grand Slam, to your point. So, yeah, it's fine. Like I said, I just wish that not necessarily, I don't care so much about Buddy, but Brody, you know, there's certainly a lot of talent there and I don't want to see him becoming, you know, a super jobber, you know, the Braun Strowman of AEW, you know?
It's a really good comparison. Yeah, I think, yeah, Okada is going to 100% retain here. Would I love a surprise? Yes, but I think we know what they're heading towards here, towards the end.
Omega. I mean, oh, yeah.
Rick throws this here in the chat where he think it feels that predictions are tough for this show. He knows that some heels have to win and move up, but doesn't know where those heels come from because he wants to see our stars coming into play. And I'm going to throw a point in here real fast. And Frank, I'll let you follow after we get into before we get into the next match. The heels have been winning a lot on pay-per-view since Full Gear.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and recount all that, but right off the rip, like I'm thinking of the main event of World's End, you know, and that was won by
Moxley.
Thank you, God. You know, the Continental Classic was Okada, you know, and I thought that was going to be Ospreay, but you know, alas, Fletcher gets the big win over Ospreay at Full Gear, right? Mm-hmm. So we got that. What are some of the other, you know, Lashley over Swerve at Full Gear. Let's see here. Why is this showing? Because Wrestle Dynasty was the previous show here. Let me pull up World's End just so we can expand on that point.
Like I said, that heels have been,
yeah, Mariah May, MJF with the Dynamite Diamond Ring. Cause we care about that. Takeshita over Powerhouse Hobbs in a sneakingly good match on that last show, by the way. Mercedes over Chris. Yeah, it was a heel show. It was really a heel show. And then to your point about Full Gear, let's just pull up that show.
Yeah, Ricochet defeated Swerve on a Dynamite, of course. And he just won last night in that tag match. We'll get to that later.
Yeah, and Jeff Mercedes. Jay beat Hangman, but that he was a fate. Fletcher. So you're right. It the last two pay per views were very heel heavy. We'll see. You know, I got some heels that might actually. I got some predictions that might surprise you. So we'll see.
Okay.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today. and get your old self back naturally.
Is your cash working hard for you right until the very moment you need it? It could be if it was in a Wealthfront cash account. With Wealthfront, you can earn 4% annual percentage yield from partner banks until you're ready to invest, nearly 10 times the national average. And you get free instant withdrawals to eligible accounts 24/7, 365. 4% APY is not a promotional rate, and there's no limit to what you can deposit and earn. And it takes just minutes to transfer your cash to any of Wealthfront's expert-built investing accounts when you're ready. Wealthfront, money works better here. Go to Wealthfront.com to start saving and investing today. Cash account offered by Wealthfront Brokerage, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Wealthfront is not a bank. The APY on cash deposits as of December 27, 2024 is representative, subject to change, and requires no minimum. Funds in the cash account are swept to partner banks where they earn the variable APY. The national average interest rate for savings accounts is posted on FDIC.gov as of December 16, 2024. Go to Wealthfront.com to start today.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Well, let's move on to the World Tag Team Championship match. Again, this is going to be the let-up match somewhere in the card. We got the Hurt Syndicate, Shelton Benjamin, Bobby Lashley versus the Outrunners. I love their comedic timing, and their promo last night was hilarious.
Yeah, that video going back to All Elite Wrestling 1987, and you see them in like the, you know, the bright colored like tank tops and like the striped pants and like, you know, doing like the Rocky like training and do all the all of that stuff. That was I got a chuckle out of that. I mean, I really wish they wouldn't have characters like that, because it's not something that I wanted for AEW, but sure. You know, I don't like that I get a kick. Let me be perfectly honest. I don't like that I get a kick out of it, you know? And I think in a way it kind of drags the Hurt Syndicate down a little bit. It drags them down because, like, you know, there are certain talents that I feel like you have to be delicate with and treat with, you know, handle with care. You know, it's like when you go on a date and you're going out with a really good looking woman and, you know, there's some potential there, you know, you're not going to take her to Taco Bell. You know, you're going to take her to, you know, something a little more, you know, fancy, all right, or you know, whatever, and you're going to dress nice and things like that. Mm-hmm. Well, that's how I feel about the Hurt Syndicate. I feel like they should be, you know, handled with care, because these guys are heels and they're getting big reactions. They're getting cheered. I mean, we hurt people ain't by accident, you know. And they were getting cheered when they were the Hurt Business in the WWE. So anyway, yeah, I mean, there's not a lot to talk about with this match. I mean, if the Hurt Syndicate doesn't win, you know, what the hell are we doing here? Yeah, this is definitely I'll be in the hotel watching this. So this is let me get my bag ready for the hotel thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah. And you know, it's clear to me that the tag team division is not a priority, you know, 'cause if you're putting on matches like this, you know, unless there's better things on the horizon. I mean, the Bucks can't be too far away from coming back. So, you know, maybe there's a collision, no pun intended, with them. So, yeah, I just hope for better things on the horizon for the Hurt Syndicate.
It's going to take some time. And I know, like I said, the Outrunner is the biggest problem with them. You're right. It's work rate. They're easily the worst in-ring performers on the card. So, But their gimmick is so fun. I absolutely love it. And you can have one of those in a promotion like this from time to time. Hurt Syndicate are going to retain here. Let's just hope the match is passable.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Do you have a team that ultimately, you know, are we headed towards some kind of showdown with the Hurt Syndicate within a month or two? Like, I thought about it being the Bucks, but I'm like, is that really exciting? You know, the Bucks are like, I don't know. They're in such a weird spot. And then I thought, if it's not them, then who is it? You know, the Gun Club? I mean, I just don't have that team that's really like you always have when you have champs, you're like, okay, who's next? You know, who's that big match coming up? And I just don't have it. I mean, do we want to go back to Ospreay and Omega hanging out and having it? I don't know.
So to that point with Hangman and Omega, when they were champs and we were like, this is kind of odd. And then they turned it into one of the best tag team reigns we've ever seen. Yeah. But I don't want to see that with Omega and Ospreay. And it's clear that there's going to be separate courses for both of those guys coming down the pipeline. There's not that tag team right now that's being groomed to take out the Hurt Syndicate because it's in the midst of transition. And Rick has this point as well, which yeah. I agree with totally.
Yeah.
You should have built up Buddy and Brody. This would have been a great time to retool them, let them steamroll everybody, and
make this is the problem. And this is the problem with them doing jobs. This is the problem, you know. Like if you got them doing jobs, you know, how are they going to feel big? You know, if you do in fact build them up to face the Hurt Syndicate. So yeah, who knows?
Because last thing, Private Party, you can't find him with a searchlight, can you? No. Who called that one?
I said it right away. I you know, you can't, when you have acts that are just treated like jokes and are viewed as very low on the card, you can't out of the blue all of a sudden, you know, run a promo or have a match or things like that and then expect to take them seriously. And their act is not to be taken seriously to begin with. I mean, it's all about the stupid, you know, the thing, the rope, whatever that you know, with the bouncers, you know, before you go into a club and shots and dances. And that's not main event. That's not high level. That's comedic. That's the same thing with the Outrunners. You can't take them seriously, you know, and you can't have them have good matches and expect me all of a sudden to say, okay, that act is now, you know, they're a serious act. These guys should be at the top of the card. You know, and we've been proven right, because to your point, where have they been? Nowhere. So, yeah.
Yeah, they got beat up in a backstage segment like a month ago, and I laughed. I said, told you so. Come on. Can't fool me.
Yep.
We're going to hit some big stuff coming up, though, as in right now. Number one contendership match, Swerve Strickland, Ricochet.
Yeah.
Jump into it.
Very interesting that this is for the number one contendership and not MJF and Hangman. And I know, I think it was Ryan that brought that up on one of the, I think it was last week's flagship show. And I wonder, and we'll talk about this when we get to the world title match, but they might in fact be sending Swerve back to the world title. Okay. Which is good and bad, because I'm afraid he could be turning into a transitional champion, and I don't want to see that for Swerve, but I think we have to be prepared for the possibility, because we can't expect Ricochet to be the number one contender. I mean, and that's not a knock on Ricochet, but based on the world title scenario, I mean, unless what plays out in the world title plays out, which I'm afraid of, and, you know, the baby face is the champion and Ricochet is the heel. So, but I see Swerve, and especially the fact that they had Ricochet beat him twice on TV. I mean, there's just no way that Swerve is losing for a third time in a row. So I see Swerve winning this. I'm having fun with this program. I'm not as into the Ricochet character as a lot of people are, but I'm not against it, you know, because it's different. It's not what I expected. I'm glad that, you know, he didn't just come in as a baby face and just have good matches, because everybody does that, you know, and he would have just been folded into traffic and we would have forgotten about him. He's actually doing interesting work, and I care more about Ricochet than I've ever cared before. So this should be fun. But yeah, I think it's going to be Swerve, and I think he might be, I mean, he wanted a dynasty last year. Why not set him up in a world title match 1 year later? That could be like his show. So,
I wrote Ricochet off after Wrestle Dream last fall. I apologize to him. So, yeah, he's done character work beyond his capability, something we haven't seen maybe since his Lucha Underground days. And he's been super interesting. His promos have improved They're not elite, pun intended here, but they're compelling enough to make me believe in him and this character. And yes, he's gotten two television victories over Swerve Strickland. He's defeated Will Ospreay. The guy has firmly established himself in the high end of the mid card, low end of the main event right now. Yeah. Swerve is one of your guys.
Yeah.
And I think with last night, it's obvious that Swerve's going to win this, and rightfully so.
And you've set up Ricochet where if he doesn't win this, you could still transition him to the, like, the TNT title picture. You know, if you want somebody to beat Daniel Garcia, that could be your guy. You know, he's not going to lose anything in losing to Swerve. You know, you're losing to a former world champion, and he's done enough character work where, you know, a program with a Garcia could actually work. So I, you know, I think good things are on the horizon for Mr. Trevor Mann.
Yeah. And you can also, let's say Swerve wins the world title down the road, you can run it back because they now have a 1-1 singles record against each other. Run it back either at a little bit lesser pay-per-view or run it back on TV, which would be huge.
Yeah, plenty of options.
We're going to go to another massive singles match here. Steel cage, shirt you're wearing, Will Ospreay, going against Kyle Fletcher.
Really interested to see this. I'm glad that the outcome is not obvious because, well, is it not obvious? I mean, because I think it should be Ospreay. I mean, I really don't think you should be beating him because he's been losing a lot. You know, he's been losing a lot of big matches, one to Okada and one to Fletcher himself. And I'm not worried about Kyle Fletcher losing a match. I mean, if he loses, I think he'll be fine. You got Don Callis. He can get his heat back right away. I mean, I talk about delicate talents, and Bruv is one of those talents. You know, Ospreay is one of those guys that, you know, handle with care, dress nice, you know, smell good, take her to the nice restaurant. That should be Will Ospreay. If he loses here, is it going to hurt? I don't know. It depends on what you do with Fletcher. You know, like if Fletcher wins and he goes on and loses a bunch of matches, then I think that makes Ospreay look bad. So I think you got to put over Ospreay. I mean, if you're moving Swerve, we talk about this a lot, Jesse. You talk about this, you know, your main event guys. You know, you should have a set of people that are in that main event. And one of those guys, in my mind, is Ospreay. Another guy is Swerve. So these are the guys that you have to protect. You know, you don't just want to necessarily have them lose because, oh, you know, Fletcher beating Will Ospreay, that puts him in a bigger spot, you know, and it's like, okay, great, but you're hurting one of your main event talents. And I think, especially with this being the payoff, you want Ospreay to win that feud. He already lost the Continental, and he already lost at Full Gear. So I think you go Ospreay here.
This is about 5.5 months, I believe, of feuding with Fletcher using the screwdriver and turning on Ospreay. That's how it all started, and here we go. Fletcher and the rest of Callis's family just absolutely ripped into Ospreay last night after that 8-man tag. So I think they kind of telegraphed it here, and Ospreay should have 100% win this.
Yeah.
Fletcher doesn't have to rebuild himself because he's look who he's lost to. It's Will Ospreay. He's lost to Kazuchika Okada recently. He's doing just fine. He's being presented as greater than already. Mm-hmm. So just keep his ascension kind of parallel to what's going on with the rest of All Elite Wrestling. And if you have to break the glass in case of emergency, you can throw him in a super high profile match sometime this summer if somebody gets injured and maybe try to elevate him that way. He's only 26 years old, too. Yeah. I mean, give him maybe a couple, maybe 3 years, I would say, and you can talk about him as potentially a world champion in All Elite Wrestling, but just not now because look what's ahead of him.
And Jesse, you got 50,000 titles. I mean, he's another one that could go to the TNT title picture. He could go to the Continental title picture. He can go to the international. I mean, there's so many avenues for him to go, you know. You know, especially, well, I don't want to talk about Kenny Omega yet. I don't want to wait till we get to that match. But, you know, there's plenty. And, you know, I don't know, excuse me, I don't know what AEW representation is going to look like in the G1. But, I mean, Fletcher in a G1, okay, sign me up. I'll take it. So it's plenty for him to do.
So we're both going Ospreay and Rick. Yes. Definitely. I agree. He's lost way too much. Seven singles losses.
One of them to Swerve at Forbidden Door, which is fine. I mean, he's losing to your world champion, but again, delicate talent, main event, got to protect them sometime. And this is that time to do it, especially in a payoff match.
Correct. So we're going to segue into a guy you already talked about, because that is next. Kenosuke Takeshita, Kenny Omega, AEW International Championship. Omega's promo was direct, straight to the point. He's mm-hmm. after the championship. He's not necessarily worried about the blood feud and Don Callis. Of course, it's in the back of his mind, but old school pro wrestling, I want a championship to be the best again.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, like, that when you do like the backstage stuff with Kenny, that's his lane, you know. Like, I don't know necessarily that he's good in front of people. He's not terrible. I mean, you know, you look at his New Japan promos when you just kind of let him be himself. That's the way to go. But I really did like what they did last night. This is a toss up for me. I'm gonna need some steering. I'm gonna need some Jesse steering on this. We're gonna have to work like a crew on this match. because I could make the case for Kenny to win it, but I kind of like Takeshita with that international title. And I kind of like, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't necessarily need it. I mean, he's still got the open weight. So, you know, he's got a title to defend. But on the other hand, like, if Kenny wins it, you know, he could defend it in New Japan, you know, like if they want to do something at, the upcoming, I forget what's, I know they're doing the cup starting here tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Sakura Genesis, I think, is coming up, something like that. And then you got Dominion around the corner. So, I mean, if you want Kenny to win it and defend it like a true international title, he could do that. But, I mean, I could see Takeshita, but and I'm all over the place here. I realize that Kenny coming back and losing could be a kick in the balls too. You know, like when someone is out for such a long period of time and they come back, you kind of want them to win, because it's like, it's solidifying that comeback, you know, it's solidifying the work that he did to come back. So it'd be a feel good story, but I don't know. Like, am I ready to have to catch? Cause I feel like Takeshita's giving that title some meaning. You know, mm-hmm. and I mean, they could have a rematch. It's not like it, you know what I mean? It's not like, it's not like they can't run it back at some point. Not that they can't run it back at Dynasty or Double or Nothing. So I don't know. What are your thoughts? What am I missing?
I use this with people who grew up in the 70s and 80s all the time. I'm going to put my Karnak brain on right now, and I'm going to tell you how I see it. John's going to steal just a touch of my thunder here, but that's okay.
Yeah, I see what he's saying.
Omega, I feel, is going to win this, because Takeshita has pinned him twice in a week. That point has been driven home a lot from the fall. Kenosuke Takeshita is now going to go on a really deep excursion. He's gonna go to New Japan, because he signed a contract with them.
Yeah.
And by the way, Kenosuke Takeshita right now, it's March 6th, folks. It's early. He's been the in-ring wrestler of the year worldwide.
Yeah.
By far. I don't think it's even close with the performances that he's had both here and also overseas. So Omega's going to win this. You can see the Omega Okada all-in match unification, which they should unify those titles. That would be awesome. Mm. And then Takeshita is going to go on to some huge things with New Japan. This is something I'm kind of stealing a Justin Joint point here, because he's been saying this a little bit longer than I have. Mm-hmm. I think they're ready to make him a giant attraction over there, which is unfortunate for us here in the state.
I was talking to Sean Radigan about this in text. I could almost see Takeshita winning the G1.
Would love it.
And you need a main event guy for the Dome in January. And that guy is not a slam dunk on the roster right now over in New Japan. But if freaking, what's his name, Shota Umino can main event against Zack Sabre Jr., Kenosuke Takeshita can sure do it himself. I mean, you're possibly looking at your G1 guy. Talk about Kyle Fletcher. I totally think Takeshita's going to be in the G1 this year and might even win it.
Year two for him in the G1. He had a pretty solid G1 last year. Yeah, I totally see him being in it and winning it. He's one of your favorites, I think, instantly.
Yeah, yeah. So, as I said, I needed some steering on this, so I will go with Omega because I'd forgotten about the two pinfalls in 2023. One was in the tag match, and one was at All Out. I was actually I kind of had that week blocked out in my head because we went to Disney. And so I actually didn't see All Out. So I kind of have that that week blocked out. But yeah, I'd forgotten about the two pins. So that's all the more reason for Omega to win this. And Takeshita is going to be just fine. I mean, it's, you know, he'll still be around. And, you know, some of the things that we just talked about.
Yeah, and it's a logjam at the top because that is a guy you would also love to see getting maybe pushed to the top of the promotion in AEW too. But you can't be pushed in two separate entities, I feel.
And again, and I think we should reemphasize, if Omega wins it, he can defend it on New Japan soil. I mean, there's no reason why he can't do that and have matches with, you know, whatever, you know, a Gabe Kidd rematch. Yoda Tsuji, you know, he could work anybody over there. I don't think there's any match that we would complain about.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys over there that he could totally have rematches with. He's got a lot of history with a chunk of the talent still that's over there. So
yeah, sure.
We were at All Out 23, so we definitely have very good memories, all three of us as hosts, and that going into that card, we were very lukewarm on it. We're like, oh, it's the week after All In. What are they going to do? And they blew us away.
Yeah. Hey, if you could do a two-night WrestleMania, you know, you could do All In, All Out as sort of a biumvirate, which is not going to happen this year, but that's another conversation.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask you this question coming up here because the Hollywood Ending Women's World Title match is what I have next on the card. Mm-hmm. This is a case, and I've seen this quite a bit online, and I'm 60-40 no on it, but I could be talked into it. Could you see Toni Storm and Mariah May main eventing AEW Revolution? And is it warranted?
Second question I'll take first, yes. First question, no, because yeah. I think the world title match is going to main event. And we'll talk about why when we get to that, but If there was a time where the women's title match could main event, this would be it. I'm going to make the bold prediction on this one, and I'm going to go Mariah May.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm going to go Mariah May because I don't think Toni needs the title. That's not a knock on Toni, okay? But she doesn't need it. And the fact that she went right after her, like I think it was the Dynamite after or Grand Slam, she went right after her. They did the interview. They're not done with Mariah May as champion. And if there was a time to have a short title run, you could do it with Toni Storm, you know, because let's be honest, she's more character than she is wrestler with the Toni Storm character. I mean, they're completely different, but The Undertaker had short title reigns because he was a character and he didn't need to have the title.
That's good.
So Toni doesn't need it. And your money that you put in your pocket is with Mariah May. And I'll go to the grave with that one because she is, and now she's still got work to do. She's still got some work to do. She's a diamond in the rough, but she's 22.
She is 26, but nonetheless, she's young. She's very young.
She's my God. I'm old enough to be her father. My God. Jesus. No, there is a lot of money to be made with that woman. So if you want to, if Toni's got some balls, okay, let her win the title back. And have her have a run. You can have Toni chase. You can have Toni do something else. I mean, you got plenty of other women in there where you can have personal feuds, but give Mariah that title back. Now, the only thing that might be blocking her, okay, and I don't know if they're ready for her yet, this emergence of Megan Bain. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know. I mean, the way they've presented her, I haven't seen a woman come in and be presented the way she's been. I mean, they have really been delicate with her. I talk about delicate talents. So she might be the reason where Tony retains, and then they set up Tony, Megan Bain for like Dynasty or Double or Nothing. So that could be in the way, but I'm not ready to move Mariah May out of this world title picture. I want her back and let her defend that title.
You talked me into 50-50.
Yeah. It's not a sure thing. It's a toss up. It's actually a toss. And I like that. I like that this is a match that the outcome is not certain. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I think you said it. Tony Storm's character is so good. This feud has been so good. We're looking at close to a year and a half long where they've mm-hmm. been together. Mariah split away. She wins the title. Tony gets amnesia, or supposedly wins it back at Grand Slam. Been winning with small packages. And here we are now at the Hollywood ending. Yes, this can main event. And you're right. I don't think it's going to, because you're seeing a lot of steam from people just saying this should main event. I don't think I can argue with you on that. I would like it. Frank, you got a thought?
No. I was just agreeing with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is where it gets tough. This is going to tie into a match, I think, coming up later, who's going to unseat Mercedes Moné at some point in time. Maybe that's something Tony Storm could do, because Tony Storm is a four-time AEW world champion. So if suppose Mariah does win here, I don't want to see Tony Storm near the world title for a while.
Right.
I don't.
No, you can move her away from it. And again, with her being more character than wrestler, you could totally do that, you know? And as I said, you got plenty of other women. I mean, she could, you know, throw her in a feud with, you know, Megan Bain, you know, throw her in with, you know, whoever. I mean, you got plenty of women on the roster. I mean, it'd be a bit of a come down going to the TBS championship, but I think Tony is over enough where I don't think it's going to bother anybody and it's not going to matter. So yeah, I could see something like that, you know, maybe at, you know, All In, you know, or something like that, where she beats, she could be the one being groomed to beat Mercedes, like you said. So,
and with your point, if Mariah were to win this, Tony can easily transition to something else. What would Mariah necessarily do from here is without a championship?
That's the problem. That's mm-hmm. my issue is I think you have more of an issue lining up things for Mariah to do than you would Tony. So, I think the better play is to get the title back on Mariah, figure out something else for Tony to do, and then just line up the baby faces for Mariah.
Yeah. I'm going to get to your point, John, when we get to that match later on. All right, this is going to be it. So I'm going to go 50.1% to 49.9%. Right now, I'm going to go Tony Storm, but I absolutely love your logic, and now I want Mariah May to win. I think just because, again, she's in her mid-20s, she's a very good in-ring worker, but you have to keep her interesting now, where Tony Storm can be super interesting anywhere else.
And one more point. I'm sorry, Jesse. The only reason... For me, the only reason Tony got that title back was the location. Yep. I mean, if that show was not in Australia, I'm not sure Tony Storm would be a world champion right now. So I think it was a matter, which kind of brings down the title a little bit. It kind of brings down the value of the world championship. But I think you could get away with it based on the story that you're telling, excuse me, between the, you know, between the two women. So, this is one of those cases where a short title reign is perfectly fine.
Yeah. I mean, they've hot potatoed this women's title in 22 and 3 specifically. So, I mean, doing it one time would definitely make some sense. So yeah. I will stick with Tony, but I'm rooting for your prediction and your hypothesis, Frank. I think that makes a hell of a lot more sense. Yeah. All right. We're going to move to something big. Hangman Page, MJF in a singles match.
Yeah.
What do you think so far?
You know, this kind of like, this is one of those matches that, oh baby, this takes me back, because MJF in personal feuds not involving a championship was the AEW that I loved. You know, I mean, you name it, whether it was Darby Allin, whether it was, I'm drawing a blank on some of the personal feuds that he had early on.
Cody Rhodes.
Cody. Yeah, I mean, that's MJF's lane, and that's where he should be. And I think this might have more championship implications than we realize. Not necessarily right away, but you could have, and I know Rick was talking about this before, you could actually have MJF win this match. I have no problem with MJF winning it, because I don't think this is the last of their matches. I think they're going to have a series. How long? I don't know. Could they have a trilogy? Possibly. I think Hangman is going to win in the end. And now I talk about, you know, matches being intertwined. This is where Swerve comes in. Because now if Swerve becomes your world champion, and if Hangman wins this feud out, what do you have, folks? Swerve versus Hangman. And we're not done with Swerve versus Hangman. We're not done with that. And we're not done with Hangman being in the world title picture. So I think this is something that, you know, we don't have to worry about right now, because they can have their feud. They could work. And I think you've got plenty of, I mean, there's probably a death match in them, or, you know, something, name your stipulation. But, you know, I think this is going to go across, you know, a couple of pay-per-views or TV shows or whatever, with Hangman ultimately coming out on top. And MJF is, you know, he's one of those guys that can lose and he gets his heat back. You know, he goes off TV for a little while, comes back and starts up with somebody else. So, you know, that's what's special about a talent like MJF. But yeah, I think Swerve and Hangman, we're positioning them to eventually reunite. So
I'm going to slightly disappoint my co-hosts here, and I'm going to give a lot of logical reasons why as well. All right, we're back. Did I freeze? Oh my gosh.
You froze. I don't know if it's,
I have froze.
You are frozen right now at the moment.
So let's disable the camera real quick, and I will talk. I'll see if I can get it back while I am talking. Again, I'm going to disappoint my co-hosts immensely here by going with Maxwell Jacob Friedman, and I have a lot of reasons why. When I hosted, or as I've hosted Unplugged for a long time, we're approaching 5 years here, and I'll get to my camera here when I'm done. She is, and was, still is, she's a gigantic MJF fan, and anytime we had predictions, there was times where I would disagree and say MJF was going to lose and she would win. I've been following this for 5 years. Anytime I bet against MJF in an opening match of a feud, I'm always wrong. MJF is winning this. Mm-hmm. He's going to win this. Is this going to hurt Hangman in the end? Probably not. You're losing to a top guy. And like you said, there's going to be more layers to this feud coming down the pipeline. There's probably be something bloody, perhaps, because we know that Max has gone through this in the past as well, with CM Punk as a prime example. So Hangman's not done. There's no question there. And I think I like your avenues with Hangman building to Swerve later down the road. But again, you can never bet against Maxwell Jacob Friedman in the opening match of a feud. And because this is kind of their initial match in a feud, the heel usually goes over in this instance. So MJF is a solid lock for me on this show.
Yeah. I also have to predict MJF because my daughter is a huge, huge MJF fan. I mean, her wallpaper on her phone is MJF. When she calls me, I see MJF on my phone. So I have to respect my 13-year-old daughter who insists on watching Dynamite on Wednesday night. So yes, good things happening here at the Petty Annie House. No, I absolutely agree with you. You know, especially with the first match. I mean, there's so much. You know, there's so much story to be told. It is kind of funny though, and we have to bring this up. It is kind of funny. MJF bringing up, you know, hey, Hangman, you burnt somebody's house down and everybody's cheering you. I mean, it just goes to show you how people don't take stories like that seriously. You know, they just, they like who they like and it doesn't matter. And it's probably a reason you shouldn't do stuff like that. Even the stuff last night with the lighter fluid. So if anybody hasn't watched Dynamite yet from last night, you know, Hangman's laying down in the ring and MJF takes lighter fluid, which for some reason was underneath the ring, but you know, that's besides the point. I know John and I talked about that on Blue Sky. Comes out, pours lighter fluid over him. And one of the rules of thumb that Scott Hall once told Wade Keller, don't talk about stuff or do stuff on TV that you're not going to do. Like, don't say you're going to kill anybody because you're not going to kill anyone. Mm-hmm. You know, even MJF might have said something like that in his promo. Don't put lighter fluid on somebody because you're not going to light them on fire. We're not Randy Orton in 2020 lighting Bray Wyatt in the middle of the ring. That's not happening. So I just wish, you know, I wish they wouldn't do stuff like that. And MJF is, you know, this is where I wish Tony had an editor or a quality control guy, because calling attention to that is calling attention to the Hangman burning down the house is probably not a good idea, you know, because it does flag for people that, you know, viewers don't take what they watch on TV seriously. They don't get enveloped in stories. They just get hooked on moments, you know, and WWE is more guilty of that. You know, they're a social media company. And I know Justin Joint is throwing his hands up in the air cheering because he made that point a while ago. And I want to, you know, make sure I give credit where it's due, but he's right, you know? So they probably shouldn't call attention to that, but there's probably a little bit of frustration on MJF's part. There's probably a little bit of realism in that because, yeah, you burnt down somebody's house on TV and now you're getting cheered. And we can probably say the same thing about Swerve invading Hangman's house, and then a month later he's being cheered. So it just, yeah, it just goes to show you that people don't take that kind of stuff seriously, and you should probably not call attention to it. So just a couple of things I was thinking about. But yeah, we're definitely in alignment that Maxwell Jacob Friedman of Plainview, New York, 10 minutes from me here in Farmingdale, is your winner of this match. And Plainview sucks.
You gotta love that.
People can't drive up there. They can't park. They're rude. Ugh. But there's a Sephora up there, and my daughter wants me to take. Can you take me to a Sephora? I go, what's the difference? I could just take you to the one in Massapequa. No, but it's in Plainview. You're not going to see MJF. Okay, enough about that.
That's the way to go. That's the way to go. I am having some big time technical problems with the video, which it is what it is. You're just going to see my at for a while, which is okay. All right.
As long as you don't talk like we had Charlie Brown, that wah, 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 and we're good.
In a lot of cases, I think there's some people out there where it's like, yeah, I look better off camera anyway. So it's like, just let's see the at. I think I'm one of the rare exceptions where you kind of want to see my mug on camera. Yeah, that's people, Leo and me.
People say, oh yeah, I got a face made for radio.
Mm-hmm. Mercedes Moné. Momo Watanabe. And let's pull up John Hope's chat here. He's just saying, watching all the promos, he thinks they're setting up to Billy to fight Moné first, and then we're going to get Athena versus Moné at All In. I'll throw something quick, and then I'll let you get at it, Frank. Momo Watanabe earned this title shot at Wrestle Dynasty by winning a four-way match at a title of her choosing down the line, and that's where she has chosen Mercedes. So yeah. Go ahead.
I didn't see Wrestle Dynasty. I was not subscribing to New Japan at the time, so I skipped that show. But hearing how good it was, I was like, you know what? Time to go back to New Japan. So I am back subscribing. I'll get to that pay-per-view at some point. But I like this match. I mean, I think the outcome is pretty certain here that Mercedes is winning, but it's one of those situations where that's fine, you know, because I don't mind seeing a good match between these two. I don't get to see Stardom. I don't subscribe to Stardom. I mean, there's only so much wrestling you can watch, Jesse. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we subscribe to everything, forget it. You know, we'd never get out of the house. So I don't mind. I don't mind seeing something like that. I want to see what she could do, you know, and it'll be a good match. You know, I mean, Mercedes has, you know, delivered pretty good pay-per-view matches, and you know, that's her thing, you know, and that's what people want to see. So, or at least AEW fans want to see. So, you know, we're good there. As far as you brought in John's comments, so I feel it's safe to talk about that. I'm assuming he's talking about Billy Starks. Is that
correct? Yep. Billy Starks and Athena, of course, they've been involved in a Ring of Honor story for a couple of years now.
Yeah. I hesitate to look forward to Athena on AEW proper because we just haven't seen her. She's been pretty much exclusively Ring of Honor, unless I've missed something. So I hesitate to look forward to that, but I mean, that would be something, you know, that would be something if that's set up for, you know, if Athena is the one lined up to beat Mercedes. Because I think the way they have set things up with the TNT title, it feels like beating Mercedes is going to be a big deal. So, you know, it's a matter of who that person is. You know, we discussed Toni Storm possibly being that person early on. I mean, I think some other possibilities we can't walk away from. We can't walk away from Statlander, maybe three times a charm with her, you know, because she had two matches. And we can't discount Willow Nightingale either. You know, there's still a little bit of meat in the bone with Willow and Monet. So, you know, just some possibilities to kind of have in the back of our mind. What do you think of those possibilities?
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to go. Like I mentioned Toni Storm earlier, maybe going from Mariah May and losing there to becoming the one to knock her off in a larger stage, especially with Monet as a heel. And Toni's, of course, is a timeless face at the moment, and she's likely going to remain that way for a while. Yeah, this match is going to, what do we call, feed the sickos?
Yeah. Yeah, this is a snack. You know, this is a drink on the house. That's what this is. You know, this is dessert. You know, and that's fine. You know, it should be a good match, but really not, you know, much in the way of stakes in AEW canon. Anyway, it's just really a way of getting exposure or stardom. You know, getting exposure and just kind of having that that excitement of having a crossover match.
Yeah, we definitely agree. Let's go to the big one because we got about 15 minutes-ish left here on this time frame. Main event time, World Championship, Jon Moxley defending the title against Adam Copeland. We are not going nicknames with either of these two.
So, nope.
This started very, very slow, and just the whole Death Riders thing has started very, very just ugly, I feel. It's been the third or the fourth story in AEW. It's making its way up, but it's still a lesser than as opposed to a lot of the matches that we've talked about. Yeah. Frank, give me your thoughts. And it has improved from a story perspective, I feel, in the last 3 weeks. But still, nonetheless, here we go.
So the first thing I will say is nope to Cope, because I ain't calling him Cope. All right, so we'll get that out of the way. I agree that the Death Rider story has been better. And I say better by definition of the word better, because it's not exactly anything about which I'm excited, you know. And last night, for those that didn't see, you know, we've got another wrinkle to it where, you know, Wheeler Yuta got into it with Moxley after Copeland said, this is what respect looks like. You know, Copeland shakes his hand after they have a pretty decent match. Mm-hmm. And then Moxley gets in his face and they kind of walk away and they argue backstage. So for those of us that care about, you know, Wheeler Yuta breaking off of the Death Riders, there are a lot of things in this match that make me nervous, okay? Because I'm not sure that this is just going to be one of those feel-good, you know, 51-year-old Adam Copeland gets a decent showing against Moxley. Moxley wins and we just move on, okay? Mr. Christian, where there's Adam Copeland, Mr. Christian Cage is not too far away. Mm-hmm. Mr. Christian Cage still has whatever you call it, the contract, whatever AEW's version of Money in the Bank is at the moment. You also have Jay White, who made it a point to say, hey, Copeland's had my back and I've had his. So that could possibly be a red herring for his betraying Adam Copeland. Where could that possibly happen? could we see a scenario where Copeland actually beats Moxley? Because Moxley, listen, if you want to give Copeland that title win, you could do it against Moxley. You know, I mean, Moxley's a made man at this point. It's not like you're building your company around Moxley moving forward. You have other guys, you know, like Omega and or, you know, Ospreay and Swerve and guys like that. So you don't necessarily have to build around Moxley. So you could have Copeland win this, but you could also have Copeland winning it and Jay White turning on him. And then out comes Christian Cage to cash in. And we could be looking at Christian Cage being your world champion because, Jesse, when else is he going to cash this thing in?
I know.
It's not going to do it. Let's just say you do Swerve and Moxley. Swerve's not going to beat Moxley, and then Christian is going to cash in. The only person Christian would cash the stupid thing in on is Copeland. So that's why I think it's a very distinct possibility that we are looking at a Christian Cage title run via Copeland, because it happened once before, and it happened at a show that I attended and you and I and Ryan reviewed, and that was World's End 2023. Copeland wins the TNT title. Christian cashes in the whatever, I think it was the brass ring or whatever. It was actually Luchasaurus who won it, and then he handed it to Christian that night. So, kill switch. So, that's a scenario that I cooked up about 5 minutes before we went on the air.
Well, what also helps this scenario, too, is Jay White telegraphing last night that I think he's going to turn on Adam Copeland. Mm-hmm. That was totally telegraphed. There was quite a few things telegraphed last night that I really picked up on. And it kind of didn't bug me per se, but it kind of took my fantasy brain away from certain things. But I think there also throws a little bit of intrigue in here because you see a lot of scenarios where, for the record as well, I had Jon Moxley retaining and now I'm like really clueless as where they're going to go because Jay White, I think, is going to turn on Copeland at some point in this match. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind for it to be after the fact when Moxley retains the championship, and that's how he retains, is with Jay White helping, because all of the Death Riders have been eliminated except for Wheeler Yuta.
I thought about that too. I thought about that. I didn't see the value in Jay White aligning with Moxley, but maybe you can convince me.
So there's that portion of it. But there's also another portion as well to where Jay White has been involved in the world title picture. Mm-hmm. He's defeated Hangman twice. I don't believe he got pinned at World's End. I want to say it was Orange Cassidy who ate the pin there. We had been clamoring for a Moxley-Jay White world title match at World's End and just throwing something separate in another bucket for Orange Cassidy and Hangman Page, which they actually had a match that Wednesday on the Dynamite after. Mm-hmm. So maybe he makes a deal with Christian Cage and ends up assisting Christian Cage winning the title after the fact, mm-hmm, and saying, I want to be the very first person to take you on. Mm-hmm. And Jay White somehow, some way ends up with the world title. As much as I don't hate it and I don't want it, but that's another scenario. There's millions of them right now. I don't know what Tony's thinking.
Yeah, they just, for Jay White, they just haven't built him up to a point where I feel like, yeah, this is a guy that should be a world champion. And not that they've done it with Christian either, but, you know, he could do it via the nefarious means with the contract. Now, I just want to be clear. So are you saying Jay White helps Christian? Are you saying at the Revolution show or down the line? I just want to be clear on that.
I think he's in helping the Revolution.
A Revolution. Okay. And one other scenario, just as you were talking, you can't see a scenario where there's a deal made where Jay White gets the briefcase and he cashes in. Like, let's say Copeland beats Moxley and there's some kind of deal where Jay White has it and he's the one that wins the title. I mean, that might be a little bit of a stretch, but you know, I can't see them wanting Christian to be a world champion. I mean, if anything, between the two of them, I'd rather it be Jay White, even though they haven't built him up.
Correct. Yeah, because another scenario somebody threw out there was Jay confiscates the contract from Christian, cashes it in, pins Moxley or Cope, which I'm hoping it's Moxley, and he becomes the world champion.
Yeah, you know what? And there's press, even though that would be just absolutely, you know, insane, because technically Christian is the one that possesses that that contract. There is precedent for that with him stealing the world title belt from MJF in 2023. So it is a story, as you know, as baffling as it is, there is precedent for that. You know, perhaps even cashing in the middle of the match, you know, and making it a triple threat. I mean, why not? You know, there's no DQs in a triple threat. So yeah, that's another possibility, because like coming out of this, Copeland being your world champion makes no sense.
Correct.
Yeah, there's no reason for Adam Copeland to be your AEW world champion. Could Moxley still be the champion? Fine. But I don't see a scenario where it's satisfying that Moxley just wins and, you know, we just move on to the next thing. There's something planned, you know, and, you know, either the first scenario that I ran as a possibility with Copeland winning and Christian cashing in with the help of Jay White, or like you said, confiscating the briefcase and then cashing in on, you know, either a Copeland winning or cashing in mid-match, making it a triple. And we can have the world champion that we did not expect in Jay White. And Jay could probably be a short-term champion, you know, because they haven't built him up as a top act. So let's just say you do line up Swerve to be your number one contender. I mean, you could have Swerve and Jay White main event dynasty. I mean, that would make the outcome, you know, without doubt, but you could have him do that and then eventually navigate to a Swerve Hangman match.
Yeah. No, like I said, there's a lot of avenues down this pipe that there's being presented to us. However, what do I want to see? What makes sense? All of that. Yeah. And the whole wrinkle of Copeland already being choked out by Moxley at Grand Slam, they took away the interference pieces, so now it's one-on-one. But Moxley says he doesn't give a damn about it anyway. Yeah. He's just going to take care of business. And so for this exercise purposes, my official prediction, I will say Jon Moxley retains and somehow walks out of here with the AEW World Championship, but I am not 100% confident, and I'm nowhere close. So I would say idea two, I'm going to go with the craziness of Jay White walking out as the AEW World Heavyweight Champion as my second option.
Yeah, I think it's possible. About the only thing I can predict is unpredictability. That's about the only thing, because it's not, Copeland's definitely not walking out with the world title. But I don't think Moxley is either. I think it's either Christian or Jay White leaving Revolution as your world champion.
I know. And then what do you do? That's where the craziness just starts to kind of turn with scenarios. You think of Jay White, Hangman as a possibility. I don't think you could do Jay White, MJF, because it'd be heel, but there's history there. MJF could want to kind of continue his winning streak against Jay. I mean, there's a lot of options you can go there.
Is there history with Swerve and him and Jay White that I'm not thinking about?
Jay White lost to Swerve in the C2 in 2023. I was there for that one.
That's it. Yeah.
That's the only thing.
There is history with Swerve and Christian.
Yep.
I mean, if anybody and this is why Christian is a good possibility. If anybody could be a short-term champion, it's Christian. I'd rather it be Christian than Jay White, you know, because I still think there's meat on the bone with I don't like the way they've booked Jay White since he's been here. Mm-hmm. And I still think you could book him better. But if anybody could be a short-term champion, it's Christian. And then you could just, I mean, even if you don't want to, even if you don't want to do it on a pay-per-view, if you want to do it on TV and then send something else up for the pay-per-view, you could do that too. So that's why Christian cashing in is probably your easiest avenue. Jay White turning on Copeland is a distinct possibility to create that scenario. But yeah, we'll see what they actually do.
So we definitely agree that Adam Copeland is the absolute last scenario that we want.
Correct. Oh, 100%. He should not be walking out of Revolution as your world champion. No way, no how. I mean, again, if you want to give him the win, fine. He could beat Moxley. That's fine. But he's not leaving the building with the world title. It's one of Christian or Jay White.
100%. I apologize to the viewers right now who were just looking at this at instead of my face. The camera went out 20 minutes ago. I've been hitting the V button frantically kind of behind the scenes here trying to get this thing up and going into settings, and nothing's been working. Oh, well, it is what it is. Let's go to Rick Skelton real fast, and then we're going to close the show. Mm-hmm. He just says no to Christian. He's way too far off the top at the moment. This is real mid-2000s WWE vibes if he takes the belt. Frank?
Right. No, listen, I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that. But then why does he have this briefcase? You know, why does he have this briefcase? I mean, he's got it for a reason. And if he's not using it on Adam Copeland, then I don't know what we're doing. And I certainly, you know, I certainly don't want him to be a long-term champion. I mean, so that's why I'm saying if he wins it, you know, he's somebody that could hold the title for a short period of time, and then you go to who you want to go to. You know, you go to your Swerve, or you go to your, you know, like, because as I said, what's the point of Swerve? What's the point of Swerve Ricochet being the number one contender, being the match for the number one contendership, if you're not going to the winner of that winning the championship? So, yeah.
Yeah, they completely pigeonholed themselves with Christian winning this briefcase, Rick. We 100% agree that this is totally off the radar and should not take place. That is for sure. So, Again, I think ultimately the scenario I would love is Mox walking out with the championship, and then let's transition it to Swerve like you should, and let Swerve just run with it for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, Swerve beating Moxley. I mean, that would, you know, that would be... That would be a way to go. This briefcase thing is ringing. It's ringing in my head. It's a leak in the house that you can't fix. How about that?
100. Yeah, you definitely agree there. We got 9 matches on this card, so it should flow pretty seamlessly. Get a lot of bang for your buck for the 4 hours. And Revolution, as we talked about in the very beginning, is kind of their premier show in terms of in-ring. So you're going to get a lot of things happening, a lot of quality wrestling, and you're going to get some twists and turns, especially at the end of this as well. Frank, on the way out real fast, is there anything you would like to promote? You did it at the beginning of the show. Do it again now.
Yeah, so over at the Torch, Pro Wrestling Then and Now, I aim to do 2 episodes a month usually. And it's a look back on old pay-per-views. This year in 2025, I'm working on, as you said, 1995 WWF and WCW. Coming up, I'll be doing Super Brawl 5 with Torch contributor Chris Maitland. We'll look at that show. And then I've got to get it on the schedule. I'll be doing Uncensored. So just really going through all the pay-per-views. But when we do these old shows, it's not just, you know, what we think. It's we try to compare, you know, what took place then to what took place now. You know, hey, you know, this match kind of reminds me of what we're seeing now in, you know, here or with this one or that one. So it's really kind of a fun exercise, but it's also just fun just to go back and watch old stuff. I mean, there's so much current product. I wanted a reason to go back and watch old shows. So that was kind of the genesis of this. It's been going on for about 4 years now. So really enjoyed it. Jesse, of course, you've been on that show. You're not too far away from coming back. Ryan's been on the show. Justin's been on the show. So, you know, definitely had some Top Rope Nation representation. I do it live on YouTube. So, you know, anybody come on in, you know, chat, whatever, throw your comments in. And of course, you can watch it after the fact. And then the audio only is available behind the Torch paywall. So it's pwtorch.com/govip. And that would be the way to go. He's got Patreon options as well. So a little bit cheaper than the VIP membership. But yeah, check that out. The next episode will be, I'll be live on March 20th. And that'll be a Thursday night. So hopefully we get a nice audience going. I've done a lot of shows during the day. So it's kind of hard to get people, you know, to watch live, you know, with work and everything like that. So hopefully doing it at night, we'll get a little bit of a better audience. The most recent show I did was reviewing Saturday Night's Main Event episodes 3 and 4. That was with Brandon LeClaire. We did it just before Elimination Chamber. And ironically, we just kind of, I gave Brandon a couple of minutes to weigh in on the Rock situation. And he actually brought up the scenario of Cena joining The Rock. So it was just funny to kind of hash that scenario out and see it play out on TV. So check that out. And of course, you could follow me at Frank Pettiani. That's at Frank, P-E-T-E-A-N-I, X, Facebook, and Instagram. Over on Blue Sky, just tack the 73 on to the end of my name and you could find me. I don't post a lot anymore, but I definitely respond to people that message me. So, you know, feel free to reach out and we can chat.
That's a good chunk of all of us right now lately kind of responding. I'll throw my 2 cents in on Blue Sky. And then, of course, I have the Facebook Wrestling Discussion group up here for Top Rope Nation on Facebook. Find us under the Pro Wrestling Discussion. We have a lot of lively interactions, usually on a daily basis, which is super fun. And we're a pretty involved and invested group from a pro wrestling perspective, so you can totally join the discourse and discussion there. A lot of educated opinions coming from that group. And then Ryan, Justin, and I are going to be recording classics tonight here where my camera will be working, I promise. And that's going to be In Your House 6, 1996. So look for that. That's going to be our February show. And then we're going to be hitting the WrestleMania avenue, I think, probably at the end of this month before the actual show. Although WrestleMania 41 is now April 19th and 20th, Easter weekend. That is a conundrum that I didn't anticipate, and we don't like it at all.
No. I mean, Easter, we celebrate Easter. Don't get me wrong. We end up doing something. But it's not really a big holiday for us, but it's still a holiday. And it's just like to have to sit there and, okay, you know, let's watch WrestleMania. You know, it's not something that, I want, even though it's not necessarily a holiday that I'm super into. I mean, we still, you know, the kids with their Easter baskets and everything. So, yeah, I think they I was talking to somebody about this last night. I wonder if they got a really good deal on the arena for Easter weekend, because if anything we've learned about Endeavor, all right, they will pinch every penny they can. And, you know, if they got a good deal to do this on Easter weekend versus something else, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, no, I think that makes 100% logic. Chat. Thank you so much for being very lively. Rick, thank you very much. Have a wonderful day yourself. I know you're kind of wrapping up your afternoon, and we got to go on about our day. I got to hit the shoot job, and Frank's got things to do before his kids get home from school. Any other closing thoughts, Rick?
No, we hit them all. And again, let me thank you, Jesse, for having me on the show. It's it really means a lot. To be a part of the flagship show here at Top Rope Nation. It's a show that I, of course, frequent every week, been doing it for a number of years now. So to actually be behind the microphone is an honor. So thank you for letting me do it today.
Always a pleasure, Frank. And it's nice to do it on a different day and a different time of the week so we can get a different audience as well. Some more exposure to TRN, because we're usually a Thursday night crew, which if you listen to our last episode, that might be changing really soon.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's good. You know, we got Rick and John and everybody else in the chat. It's good to, you know, chat in real time with those guys. So appreciate hearing from them.
Yes, indeed. For Frank Pettiani, this is Jesse Velasquez. Episode 376 of Top Rope Nation is in the books. Enjoy your Revolution weekend. We'll try to be back here Monday to review this show. And as always, we'll see you on the flip side.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits apply to for 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.